Glad to see you here this morning. Amen. We've been studying through Peter. Last Sunday, the Lord had us preach on something else, so I'm going back to 1 Peter. We'd gone down through about 5 or 6 verses. Let's just read through that and make some comments and bring us up to speed, and then we'll try to get on with it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims, and I think the King James Version has their strangers, is that right? Somebody know? The pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So pilgrims, this version has pilgrims rather than strangers. And we spent a little time on that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I just want to let you know that every one of us who are Christians, we're just passing through this place. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. Amen. We have another home that we're looking for. Also, verse 2, elect. So we think we selected God, and we did. That was our free will to do that, but we want to know that He wants us to know that because we've selected Him, He elected us and gave us that opportunity. So, it ought to make you feel special that you're one of. How many of you are believers here this morning? Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're elect. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And you were elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and we spent a little time on that. In other words, the foreknowledge of God didn't have anything to do with your free will. In other words, God didn't force us to make a choice, but because He knows everything and He's all wise, He knows who's going to choose Him and who is not. Amen? Everybody, that's a deep thought. Anyway, we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And also, and I spent some time on sanctification. How many of you are sanctified? What does that mean? Being set apart for the service of God. Amen. You now belong to Him. Amen. You're sanctified. And that's how does that come about? It's not by baptism or being in, you know, in the church and all of that. It's by His Spirit. Amen. And what is it for? For obedience. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So God's grace, His favor, His special blessing be upon you, and it is. Amen? And how many of you enjoy the peace of God? The peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen? So we bless Him. Amen? How many of you bless the Lord? Amen? Bless the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Who according to His abundant mercy, and it's because of His mercy, and we spent some time on that. I'm not going to spend some time on it again, just a reminder. It's not that because we've done something, it's not do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and join a church. It's by His mercy. Aren't you glad God had mercy on us? Amen. And also we spent some time on begotten, because that means to be what? Anybody remember? Born again. That's to be born. That's to be begotten. And he, as he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How many? Well, don't raise your hand, but you need to know you've been born again. Amen? Because that's the only way you can be saved. And when we are born again, we have it's not a dead hope. What is it? A living hope. Amen? It's alive. And it lives in us. And it comes about through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because He was resurrected, we've been resurrected. What have we been resurrected to? Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for those who are church members. For you. Amen. And Some man said one time, it always stuck with me, whether you like it or not, Jesus died for you and bore his sins in his body on the tree. So you don't have to worry about that. We confess our sins as Christians and believers and also to come to him to be saved. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And so that's reserved in heaven for us. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. How many of you know you're kept? Huh. What does that mean? To be kept. You ever had children? You kept them, took care of them, raised them. Amen. Did you feed them? Did you clothe them? Did you love them? Did you have their interests at heart? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be kept? And I want you to notice also, and as we talked before, and I'm just kind of reviewing because it's been a while since we've been on this. we're kept by our power. It's not our power? How are we kept? Is God powerful? Can God do all things? Can he keep you? Oh me. But how does that come? How do we have that power of God? By faith. What is faith? It means I trust, I depend upon. You've seen me do this a lot of times, but I could pull, sometimes I pull out a chair out here and say, do you believe that it'll hold you up? And if you come and sit on it, if you believe it'll hold you up, you come sit on it, it will hold you up. But if I brought one out of here that had a broken leg and you didn't know it and you sat on it, it'd fall down. Huh? You're not getting on it. God never fails. Amen. And that means when we come to him and we put our trust in him, I don't have a chair here, but I believe this will hold me up. So, by faith, I trust all of my weight on this. Amen? That's what we do. It's by faith. We put all of our trust on him. All of it. Amen? We trust that, first of all, God loves us. We trust that, secondly, that God's word is true. We trust that Jesus Christ bore my sins. Amen? Did he buy your sins too? Wash your sin? On the cross. Amen? And if we put our trust in him, we are saved. How do we do that? If we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen? That's what we do. We trust in the Lord. We believe in our heart. And we're saved. How do we know we're saved? We've been born again. Amen? And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Any amens? Amen. But our salvation that we have when we're saved and when we're born again, we haven't seen the fullest extent of what that means. Right? We're waiting for him to come back and take us out of this place. Because we're living, I believe, in the very last of the last days. from all the signs that we can see. Of course, we've been seeing a lot of signs over the many years, but and I'm not going to preach on the second coming and the end signs of the end times today, but believe me, I can tell you, as far as I know, all of the signs that he's coming back have been fulfilled. I don't know of anyone. The last one, the greatest sign, was that he said, in the last days, I'm going to bring my children, the Jewish people, because Jesus was a Jew. He was born to a, his mother was a Jew. He was born to the Jewish nation, then the family. And he said, because they wouldn't believe and trust me, and he says that in Isaiah and Jeremiah in the Old Testament, they're going to be scattered to all the parts of the world, which they have been. How many of you know that? Not just because you read the Bible, but because you studied history and you know something about the nation of Israel. Amen? And he said, in the last days, I'm going to bring them back from where they've been scattered all over the world, and I'm going to reestablish them in their land. What was that movie about that? Anybody remember? Back in the 60s and 70s? That showed how the Jews walked and got on ships and boats, and they brought them to Israel, which was controlled by the Palestinians. Exodus. That was the movie, Exodus. If you haven't ever seen that, see if you can find it and go watch it. It's a great movie. God brought all of his people back and reestablished them in their land. They didn't really have a place for them. And the United Nations told the Palestinians, you will make room for them. But they've been having a battle ever since then. Right? The Jewish nation became a nation in 1948. That's not too many years ago. And that was the last of days then. Because God said, that's when I'm going to bring them back. Are y'all with me this morning? If it was the last days then, how close do you think we are now? Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. I've heard people say, and I've had other people tell me, and I've talked to some people, and we spent some time on this, but I'm just kind of reviewing and talking. I'm just sharing from my heart this morning. I didn't know what I was going to preach on until I got up here. I've had people say that have been Christians for a little while after they just got saved, Brother Lewis, I don't know what's going on. I've never had so much trouble until I become a Christian. What in the world is happening? And I said, well, you're in spiritual warfare. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, the flesh, which is this is our body, but it has a sense of being, amen? Flesh lusts against the spirit after we've been born again. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would do. Somebody said, well, I'm not sure I'm a Christian or not. I said, well, if you're having that struggle in your life, you can be sure you're a Christian. Well, because an un-Christian doesn't have that. Are you with me? That's something to think about, isn't it? Non-Christians don't have that battle. Only true Christians that have been born again of the Spirit of God have that battle. And that's one of the ways that we know, and that's one of the ways that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Wow. Think about it. So, We greatly rejoice in the fact that we're saved, but every now and then, does it say all the time? Look back here. Though now for a long time or forever. Is that what it says? It says for a little while. Amen? The Bible says that God will not tempt us above what we are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Isn't that what the Bible says? I just quoted it. That's from the Bible. It's not from Lewis Cowan. So when I find myself in temptations and trials, and we all do, even Christians. And some of the temptations are not what you would think they are. It doesn't just mean lust for another person. It sometimes means God gets us so busy and tangled up in the affairs of this life that we forget to read the Bible. We forget to pray. We forget what spiritual warfare is. We forget about heaven. We're so tied up in things of this world. It's the things of this world that tie us up more than anything else in the whole world that try to keep us distracted from the spiritual warfare and who we are in Christ. And that's why I teach here over and over and over again, let God not just work in your life through the religious things, but to allow God to work in your life through all things, through your finances and through your relationships with husbands and wives and through relationships with your children and relatives and business and finances. Let God work in your life. He wants to bless you in all areas and aspects of our lives, not just in our religious realm. Wow. How many have ever had God provide you a car? Provide you a job? Provide you, heal you? Make you well? Amen? Strengthen you? Encourage you? Give you hope so that you're rejoicing even in the times of trouble? And finances, or whatever it might be. You can say, thank you, Lord. I know that you're with me and everything's going to work for good because you said so. And I trust you. And sometimes the trouble doesn't go right away, but because the Bible says our faith is going to be tried. The trying of your faith in James, which is much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. Amen? So it's not everything in the Christian life is always wonderful. It's kind of bad when we're going through temptations and trials. And that's why he says in verse 7 that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to come someday and he's going to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, precious child of mine. Amen. Verse 8. This was a good one. Whom having not seen, you love. How many of you have loved the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, how can you love him? You hadn't even seen him. Are you listening to me? We love him because we know he exists. How do we know he exists? By faith. Because he's touched our lives. And we've been quickened by his spirit. And though now you do not see him, yet believing, yet putting your trust in him, and believing what his word says anyway, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. How many of us do that? Amen? Sometimes I can be down and something's going on in my life, and And the Lord just leads me to think about what Jesus did for me and how he's touched my life and how he's been with me. And I get to thinking, and it's a good thing to remember the things and the circumstances and situations that we've been through that we know for sure that God has helped us through. Amen? Every Christian has that God has done for us in a special way, and we need to remember those things. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing to share our testimonies about those things with other people that are going through some hard times, so they can know that God is good and he will be with them and he won't leave them, and sooner or later he's going to take care of it somehow. Amen? You may be going through something right now in your life, and you're wondering, well, Lord, when are you going to take care of this? You promised you'd supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, your faith is being tried. Amen. Will you trust him in the hard times as well as you trust him in the good times? Will we? Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. What is the end of the faith, of our faith? When we don't have to have faith anymore, the salvation of our souls. Well, that means when he comes and says, here am I. How many of you are right now expecting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, isn't that good? That means he can come at any moment. He may come tonight. He may come before this service is over. He may come whenever. And what's going to happen to the Christians? We're going to be caught up. Amen? And we're going to be there while this world goes through the worst tribulation it's ever seen. I don't want to be here. And I'm not going to be here. Because he's coming to take us out of here. Then we're going to come back and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Huh. What do you think about that? Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, of this salvation, the salvation that God has provided, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Who are the prophets? Isaiah, Jeremiah. You with me? He's saying the prophets of the Old Testament, when they prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God's sacrificial lamb that's going to take away the sins of the world, they studied about that, trying to figure out what in the world was he talking about. What? They searched carefully. They were looking. What they didn't understand, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. The Old Testament saints weren't saved as the New Testament saints were saved. Are you with me? I don't have time to get into that. I'm sorry. Just wanted to make you think a little bit. Verse 11 says they were searching. What? They were searching. What time is this going to be? When in the world is this supposed to happen? They did have the Spirit of Christ who was in them. Amen? The Spirit of Christ was in them. But they weren't born again like we are. God came to establish his church. He did that through Jesus Christ. And they weren't born again. But they did have the Spirit of Christ who was in them was in indicating. He had been indicating through the scriptures, that's what he said above in verse 10, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So there are several places in the Old Testament that talk about God sending his Son, and he was going to have to die for our sins, and he even testified to that in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. and they ate of the fruit, what did God do? He killed a lamb and clams and made clothes to cover them because they discovered that they were naked. Because that tree of knowledge of good and evil that we all inherited from Adam and Eve gave us a knowledge or understanding of good and evil. It didn't save us. It just gave us an indication, knowledge, that we had sinned and come short of the glory of God and that we needed a Savior. And that's when God came to save them, and because they ran and hid from God, because they knew something was wrong before, they were coming and having fellowship with God. What did God say to them when they ran and hid? He said, "Have you eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil?" And Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the devil, that serpent. Didn't want to take the blame for it. But God did what? Sacrificed a lamb, shed its blood. He was showing right then that was the only means of their salvation. And that was a picture of his son that was to come in the last days to take our sins in his body and die on the cross and shed his blood so that we might be saved. Verse 11, searching water, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Verse 12, what was revealed to them? What did they come to understand? To them it was revealed. God showed them that not to themselves, but to, what does that say there? How many us's do we have here this morning? Amen. But to us, they were ministering to things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel. Amen. We heard the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news. What's the good news? Jesus died. God sent his son to die for our sins and shed his blood so that we might be saved. Whoever puts their trust in him, whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. And that's the gospel, who have preached the gospel to you. How do they preach that gospel, and how does anybody preach the gospel? We can't do anything without the help of the Holy Spirit. Sent from heaven. And then he says something that's really amazing. I don't have time to get in that either, but things which angels desire to look into. You know, even the angels are puzzled and trying to figure out, why can God save a man like Lewis Cowan? Why would he? I mean, he was a blasphemer. He took God's name in vain. He killed people. You say, did you ever kill anyone? No, the Bible says, though, if I hated them enough and wanted to kill them, I might as well have. I never will forget. I'm going to share a story with you. Pat and I were really struggling in our lives to make a living, I guess, like everybody else was. And I always thought that I would be struggling, but I would be making a living through preaching God's Word and teaching God's Word and sharing God's Word. A man from Oklahoma came to my house. I don't know how he got my name. He told me a good story. He said, "Lewis, in fact, you can see some of these in different stores right now. They're racks, metal racks with books stuck in them." Well, when that first came out, he told me, he said, "We're going to put all of these books in these stores. We're going to publish them. And if you'll give us so much money, I'll let you be the guy that takes care of this area here." So I had already gone. I gave him the money. $5,000. I had to go borrow it from one bank and two loan companies because I didn't have $5,000. But I figured when I got the books, so I went to HEB's. I mean, I went to their head office because it was in Corpus here at that time. It's in San Antonio now. And I said, I would like to put these racks in their stores. And I talked to the guy that was responsible. He said, how many racks do you want to put in the stores? And I think it was 10. He said, you can do it. So, man, I was happy. I was just waiting to get the racks so I could pay back my $5,000. But when I find out that the man was a thief and he got $5,000 from a lot of people. As a matter of fact, and I'll tell you how maybe I learned this in a little while, but I know a widow, I mean, I was told of a widow woman who gave her very last penny that she had living in a trailer house somewhere, I think it was in Illinois or Indiana or somewhere over there, and gave all of her money to him so she could have a way to make a living, and he took her money too. He never sent any books to anybody. You know what? And I'm preaching. I'm a preacher. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to kill him. I mean, literally. If he had lived around here, I probably would have. Because he put me in a terrible situation. I had to pay all that money back. So I was thinking one night about 2 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed. I was laying up. I just learned about it, and I was laying in bed thinking, how can I get up there where he is? And I heard the Lord speak to me, because I've heard him before, not in an audible voice, but in my spirit. Anybody ever hear the Lord speak to you in your spirit? That's how he talks to us. Amen? He said, I want you to get out of your bed right now, Lewis, and forgive that man. That's what he said. And I said, Lord, I can't forgive that man. He said, I want you to get out of this bed and get on your knees and forgive that man. And I said, Lord, I'll tell you, because you're asking me to do this, I'm going to get out of this bed and I'm going to get on my knees. And I'm going to say that, but I want you to know right now, it's not coming from my heart. I don't mean it. And so I got on my knees beside the bed, and I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive that man. And as soon as I said that, the love of God filled me. And I literally loved that man. And I did go to Oklahoma. I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went to his office. But it wasn't to kill him. It was to tell him I forgive him and I love him. That's what God does. Amen. And his secretary, when I walked in the door, and I wasn't there for that. I had gone up there for some of my job. It sent me up to Duncan, Oklahoma. So I drove over to Tulsa while I was in Duncan on a weekend to see, or to, a Friday to see him, or whatever day it was. And she told me, she said, Mr. Cowan, you're not the only one he cheated. And she was the one that told me about different people that he had taken their $5,000. She's the one that told me about the widow woman. And I said, well, where is he? She said, he's in prison. I think he was in there for 25 years for stealing and robbing, doing what he had done to people. And I wasn't happy he was in prison. I went up there to apologize to him. But she said he took a lot of money from a lot of people. And she told me about the widow woman. I thought, boy, at least I wasn't as bad a shape as she was. But I had to pay the money back. And it wasn't easy to do on my salary at that time. So the gospel was preached to us by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And the angels tried to think of, why would God save somebody like me? I wanted to kill somebody. And as a matter of fact, in my heart, I really had. And it was only by the grace of God that I could forgive him. Verse 13, we're going to close here just in a minute. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, what does that mean? Gird up. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't know already, most of the temptations that come to us, if not all of them, come to us through our minds. That's why the Bible says to us, for example, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Only Christians can have that mind. And only God can give you that mind. Amen? But then you have to let that mind rule in you. If you don't, it won't. So the Bible has a lot of things to say about the mind. As a matter of fact, I memorized so many scriptures about the mind, because that's how the Bible tells us, just like Jesus resisted the devil in the when the devil came to him in the wilderness and turned these stones into bread and cast yourself down off of here and all of the different things, three things the devil told Jesus to do, that was real to him, very real. It was real to me, the things that I went through. Very real. And God showed me through that, said, and I was saying, well, Lord, I'm just young. I'm trying to learn. How can I teach all of this to people if God called me to teach and preach and I don't know anything? You know, unfortunately, we have to learn so many things by experience. I said this to y'all, I think, many times. I used to think I'd fly. I made airplanes, read everything about there was to read about airplanes, built airplanes, model airplanes, flew them, threw them, you know, in the sky and let them float and fly and all of that. And I said, if I ever get in an airplane, I can fly. I just let me have it. And when I went out to get my license and I got in the plane, I didn't want to even touch it. Because I found like it's a whole lot of different thing doing it for real than reading about it. And we have to live this Christianity. We have to experience it. And the Bible and the Lord showed me, said, how did Jesus resist the devil? And I said, he used the scriptures. He said, that's how you're going to have to use the devil. Start memorizing scriptures. And so I started memorizing scriptures about the mind. And when the enemy would come and put thoughts into my mind that I didn't want there, and I knew they weren't my thoughts. That's another issue. Sometimes the thoughts are coming in your mind, and the enemy will be, he's the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't accuse us before the throne of God anymore, because he doesn't have any... He can't even get there, but he can accuse us, look, right here in our minds. And he can say, well, you just did that. How can God love somebody like you? Look at what you've done since you've been a Christian. How could God love somebody like you? Why? And he tries to get our doubt or salvation. Let me tell you this right now. If the devil doesn't try to get you to doubt something that you don't have. If you have salvation and somebody and the enemy's putting thoughts in your mind of why God would save somebody like you and trying to fill you with doubt, that's just the best indication he defeats himself, because that's the best indication that you are a Christian. Turn it around. Use it against him. Say, get out of here. Satan, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't tell me. God's already told me who I am. Oh, my goodness. I could go on and on. I won't. I'm going to finish with that verse. What verse was it? What I was finishing with? Rest your hope fully. Verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully. That means totally, completely, fully upon the grace. That is God's grace. It's God's undeserved, unearned spiritual favor. Amen? That's grace. That is to be brought to you, and the end of that grace that we experience now is going to be revealed to us literally when Jesus comes here and we see him. Amen? Praise God. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, how you used to live before you become a Christian in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, God said, in Leviticus, this is where he's quoting from here, be holy for I am holy. So why would God tell us as Christians to be holy if we can't be holy? And that doesn't mean to have holes in your britches or in your shirt or are you with me this morning? Praise God. God's good, isn't he? We got a wonderful Savior. His Son shed his blood for us, redeemed us by his blood, healed us by his stripes in his body. Amen. Took care of us. That's everybody stand. If anybody needs to come to the altar for any reason, you can come on down here and pray. Maybe God wants you to become a member of this church, and you just come down and say, I want to come to be a member of this church. If you want to need to be baptized or whatever, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're fixing to close this service. Anybody need to come for any reason, please come at this time. All of my family, as we close, my children, my grandchildren for the most part, are all involved in Christianity in some way. Well, that's an answer to prayer. Times though, I just had to leave them, turn them over to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't save them as you can. You got them. You got our grandchildren. You got all of our children. Great grandchildren. I give them all to the Lord. Amen? They belong to him. My son's here this morning, Lewis Jr. He's our firstborn son. Well, my only son. The other two were females. I want to ask Lewis Jr. to dismiss us. Amen. Lee, will you dismiss us, please?